All right, let's get into God's Word. The theme this month is freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And you know, this past Wednesday, July 4th, we celebrated Independence Day. It's when the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776, adopted the Declaration of Independence, announcing the 13 colonies then at war with Great Britain would regard themselves as 13 independent sovereign states, no longer under British rule. You see, the 13 colonies received freedom from the oppressive rule of Great Britain. And we celebrated that this past Wednesday. America turned 242 years old. That's good news. Thank God for freedom in this country. Amen? All right, but friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, we've received a much greater freedom than the 13 original colonies. By faith in Jesus, we've received freedom from the power that sin would want over our lives, and we have received freedom from eternal death. So tonight I'm going to talk about these two freedoms that we've received in Jesus Christ, freedom over the power of sin, and freedom over eternal death. You may have heard sermons like this before, but it bears repeating, and it's a message that you can bring to other people in your spheres of influence here in Tulsa. All right, it's the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has given us freedom from the power of sin. Now we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And remember that Mary had conceived through the Holy Spirit, Jesus. And it says in Matthew 1, verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Jesus came to save us from the power and dominion of sin. He came to deliver us. He came to set us free from the power that sin would want over our lives. Say it with me. Jesus came to set me free from the power and dominion that sin would want over my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, maybe you confessed Jesus as your Savior maybe a month ago, maybe 6 months ago, maybe 10 years ago. In all the sins you committed up until the point that you accepted and confessed Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. And maybe there was a sin in your life that you were struggling with when you confessed faith in Christ that disappeared. Maybe there was a sin that you were struggling with. Maybe it was alcoholism. Maybe it was drug addiction. Maybe it was looking at something you shouldn't look at. And when you accepted Jesus as Savior, maybe the power of that sin was broken over your life. But maybe today, months after, maybe years after you accepted Jesus as Savior, maybe that sin has tried to pop its ugly head again in your life. Maybe it's trying to enslave you all over again. Only you and God know what that sin is that you're dealing with tonight. Only you and God know what it is. Maybe the sin that disappeared when you accepted Christ was alcoholism. But months later, years later, now you're dealing with that again. Maybe it was drug addiction that disappeared, but maybe you're dealing with it again. Maybe it was sleeping with somebody who was not your spouse, but maybe you're dealing with that sin again. And maybe the temptation has come once, twice, three times, and maybe you've heeded that temptation once too many times. And I'm here to tell you tonight, whatever you feed grows stronger. If there's a temptation for you to drink, and maybe you dealt with alcoholism, and there's a temptation for you to get together with a group of people and drink and get drunk, and you heeded that temptation once, twice, three times, maybe that sin is gaining power trying to overcome you in your life. Because whatever you feed grows stronger. If you're feeding an addiction, it gains more power over your life. Maybe there's a temptation to look at something you shouldn't be looking at, and maybe you heed. And you heed to that temptation again, and you heed to that temptation again, and then you're overpowered by that sin. What are you doing by heeding to the temptation over and over again? You're strengthening the power that that sin has over your life. To weaken that sin or addiction, what do you need to do? What do we need to do? We need to starve it. We need to walk away from that temptation, from that sin. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
Say it with me. To weaken that sin,
to weaken that addiction
in my life, I need to starve it. I need to walk away from it. You know, the way for that sin to loosen its grip over your life is to put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Who is in the driver's seat of your life tonight? Is it you or is it Jesus? If you today are in the driver's seat of your life, if you today have the steering wheel of your life, you need to slip over into the passenger side and put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. You need to make Jesus Lord over your life. What does Jesus as Lord mean? What does Jesus as Lord mean? Lord means supreme in authority. Lord means commander in chief. You accepted Jesus as Savior. Maybe you confessed Him as Savior a month ago, 6 months ago, 10 years ago. That's good. But Jesus wants to be more than just Savior in your life. Jesus wants to be Lord, commander in chief over every part of your existence. Let me say it again. The way for that sin that is trying to overpower you to be broken over your life, to loosen its grip over your life, is to put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life, to make Him Lord, commander in chief over your life. If you're being tempted by a sin of the past, and it seems that it wants to control you, it seems that it wants to empower you, ask yourself this: WWJD, what would Jesus do? Say it with me. What would Jesus do? Say, for instance, that there's a group of people that want you to drink with them, and maybe you struggled with alcoholism. You overcame it, but they're tempting you to join them. And you heed, and you join them, and you get drunk, and you do it again and again. You got to start thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is really my Lord, I need to ask myself, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Christ do in this situation? You know, if just imagine it. If they were, when Jesus walked this earth, if they were tempting Him to get together with them, a group of people, to get drunk, Jesus would walk away. He wouldn't do it. Jesus is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Jesus walked away from any kind of sin. He never sinned. He was the spotless Lamb of God, and we need to imitate Jesus if He is our Lord and Commander in Chief. Amen?
Amen.
So ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Number two, to overcome that sin that is trying to overpower you, you need to do what? You need to pray continually for God's grace to overcome that sin. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, it's hard to overcome that sin. I just feel like I want to drink and drink again, or it just feels like I overcame that drug addiction, but I'm tempted to do it again, and I've succumbed, and I'm tempted, and I did it again, and I feel like I want to keep doing it, and in my own human strength, I can't seem to overcome that sin, that addiction. It's trying to overpower me again in my life. If you're getting weak in your own natural self, call upon the supernatural one, Jesus Christ, and He will give you His divine grace and enablement and empowerment to overcome the grip of that sin over your life. Is that good news here tonight?
Yeah.
When you get weak in your natural self, in dealing with a sin. Say, God, I can't do this in my natural self. I'm too weak on the inside. God, give me your divine empowerment. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. You are the commander in chief of my life. God, I can't do it on my own. God, I pray for your strength in my weakness. And God will give you his strength to overcome. He'll give you his strength to overcome that weakness in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You pray to God for his divine enablement and his grace. And number three, what do you do to overcome that sin that is trying to overpower you again? You've got to renew your mind by the reading of God's word. What does Paul write to the Romans? In Romans chapter 12. He says in Romans 12, 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In other words, do not conform any longer to the ungodly ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's called the washing of the water of the word. You know, the magazines you read, the books you read, the articles you read influence the way you think. They influence your spirit. Yes. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that the book you need to be concentrating on the most and reading the most is this book, the Bible, the Word of God, and let it influence your thoughts and your spirit. Yes. Do not be conformed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes. Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to overcome the power of that sin in your life? Then renew your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. Get into the Word of God, not just once in a blue moon. Amen. You don't get into this Word just once in a while. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, on a daily basis. It's not going to cut it to be in God's Word just at Easter or Thanksgiving, or at Christmas three times a year. You got to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. You may not have a lot of time to read, but read three or four scriptures. Read one or two chapters. And let the water of God's Word wash your mind and renew your mind. And I'm telling you, as you do that, as you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? As you pray to God, as you read the Word and renew your mind, the power of that sin will be broken over your life. Jesus came to save us from the power and the dominion of sin. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
That's a great freedom. He wants to give us freedom. He wants to give you freedom over the power of that sin in your life that you're struggling with tonight. It can start with you tonight. And the greatest freedom that Jesus came to give us was freedom from eternal death. Freedom from eternal. We were all destined for a destiny separated from God. We were all destined for eternal separation from God because we've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Sin pays a wage, and it's called eternal death. But Jesus did an awesome thing over 2,000 years ago. Paul writes about it to the Galatians in Galatians 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. What does he say? He says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Christ redeemed us, Galatians 3:13, from the curse of the law. What does the word redeem mean? It means this: Christ has set us free from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law in New Testament understanding is eternal destruction. It's eternal death. By becoming a curse for us. How did Jesus become a curse for us? Jesus became a curse for us by dying an accursed death on a cross by crucifixion. Jesus became a curse for us by taking on the wrath of God for our sins. There is no one human being on this earth who could satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Only one was able to do it. And his name is Jesus Christ, God the Son. Amen?
Amen.
Became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So we can read this scripture to say in Galatians 3:13, Christ set us free from eternal death by dying an accursed death upon a cross, by taking on the wrath of God upon himself for our sins. Christ has set us free from eternal death by dying an accursed death. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight the good news is that Jesus died on that cross over 2,000 years ago so that you and I would not have to die eternally. Isn't that awesome? Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and by faith in Jesus, we are reconciled back to God the Father. We have fellowship again with God the Father by faith in Jesus. So say this with me. Jesus Christ set me free from eternal death by dying an accursed death by crucifixion over 2,000 years ago. I love you, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus. You've received eternal life. When you leave this earth, if you've got faith in Jesus, if you've confessed Him as Savior, if Jesus is your Lord and you're following Him, when you leave this earth one day, when you die in your physical body, you will see Jesus face to face in heaven. First John 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He who has the Son has the Zoe life of God. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Commander in Chief, guess what? That means you have life. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, eternal life began for you at that moment here on this earth. And eternal life will continue for you when you leave this body and enter heaven. Is that good news here tonight? When you confess Jesus as your Savior, at that moment, eternal life began for you here on this earth. And it will continue on when you go to heaven, when I go to heaven one day. And remember this, in eternal life in heaven, there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more suffering. There is no more sadness. There is no more discord. There is only friendship. There is joy. There is peace. There is no more suffering in heaven one day. And if you've received Jesus Christ and eternal life has begun for you on this earth, that means that on this earth you can have a taste of heaven here on this earth. Because when you receive Jesus as Savior, if you have the Son of God in your life, eternal life began for you at that point. And if eternal life began for you here on this earth when you accepted Jesus, you can have a taste of heaven on this earth. What does a taste of heaven taste like or look like? A taste of heaven is provision for your finances. A taste of heaven is healing in place of sickness. A taste of heaven is reconciliation in place of discord. I am looking forward to eternal life in heaven with Jesus one day. But it's begun for me. It's begun for you here on this earth. And we can have a taste of heaven in the here and now. Is that good news here tonight? I want to read this illustration for you. Because Jesus died, we can live forever one day. A traveler looked for unusual things in the cities he visited. During a tour of a town one day, he was attracted by a remarkable spire over a public building. Turning to see it better, he noticed about two-thirds of the way up a stone figure of a lamb on the wall. The man stopped a passerby to ask if there was some significance to the lamb's stone replica. He said it marked the place from which a workman lost his balance and fell while the building was under construction. The traveler asked, "Was he killed?" "No," said the local resident. "It was a miracle." When his friends hurried down, expecting to find the mangled body on the pavement, there he was, shaken and badly bruised, but with hardly a bone broken. It happened that several lambs were on the way to slaughter, and as the mason fell, he landed on the back of one of the lambs. The lamb was killed, of course, but his soft body broke the mason's fall and saved his life. The builder was so impressed with the miracle that he had that stone lamb placed there as a lasting tribute. We serve the spotless Lamb of God who died upon a cross over 2,000 years ago so that we would not have to die eternally. Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He rose again, ascended back to heaven, and by faith in Him, we have received freedom from eternal death. Is that good news here tonight? That's awesome news. That's the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, but it bears repeating. And guess what? You can take this gospel message to people in your spheres of influence, friends. You can take the gospel message of freedom in Christ to your spheres of influence, that Jesus died to release us from the grip of sin over our lives. That Jesus died to give us freedom from eternal death. Friends, I'm here to tell you that there's somebody that God wants you to share the gospel with. There might be somebodies He's wanting you to share the gospel with in your spheres of influence. When you leave tonight, be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to God speaking to you, saying, "Speak to this person. Share the gospel with this person." It may be the last time the person has that opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Be sensitive to the voice of God.